It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouthed foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No
holes barred.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Yeah. So I've had a really chaotic morning. I know we're like on to second record now, but this morning was just such chaos. First day back of school after the Easter holidays.
You know that when people listen to this, they'll be like, it's probably going to be closer to the fucking summer holidays. And the reason why is because I'm going on tour, so we're having to get ahead of the curve.
We're being like so organised, it's insane.
Yeah, so I'll actually be on tour probably when this goes out.
Yeah.
Whoa, oh my God, how exciting. Life.
You did your little preview show as well, didn't you?
Your little work in progress.
Dry run. That's it called Work in Progress.
Work in Progress, yeah.
How did that go, Laura?
Oh, it went very well, Vic. I think it's all well and good when you write something, isn't it? And you think, this is funny. And so I started it just over a year ago. I remember literally flying back from Thailand and I was writing then. On the plane, it's been a long time in the pro, and what it started out as to what it is now is totally different.
You've had to like rehearse it all and learn it, and I think people forget about that.
Yeah, like, that's like quite
part
intense.
Of the process,
that's
isn't
quite
it?
Intense. Yeah, that's so like that, and I also think that it's making sure that you remember two lots. So it's 2 40-minute sets. So it's making sure that you remember all of that.
In
the right order. And it's also making sure that you factor in the fact that you need to have crowd interaction.
Sure.
So like the first show that I wrote last year or the year before now, that was way too long. There was way too much content in it. And I ran over so many fucking times. And then I got myself a little clock timer, thanks to you, a little kids clock timer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With an animal on it. And I got that, and even right up until the last show, I never managed to fit all of it in. Whereas this time round, I've been able to keep it shorter and understand that it's a lot to factor in. It's a lot of, I don't know, like other people that could be stand-up comedians could be like, fuck off, you're trying to make it sound a big deal. But I think it is quite a balance. It is quite
a
hard balance.
A big deal. It is a fucking big deal. You've written an entire show and then you stand up and you perform it. With like no prompts or anything, you just fucking do that off your head. It's
I know,
a massive,
but other people do have
me.
Prompts. I'm just so anally retentive. The perfectionist in me is like, I must not have any prompts. I must. So some people do. Some people will be on stage and they'll have little footnotes stood on the floor so they can glance down at them. And I'm like, no way.
I wouldn't be able to do that because my nerves would literally prevent me from being able to read.
Yeah, and me as well. I just need to know that I know it thoroughly off by heart, completely back to back, inside out, and I have.
I mean, it's so amazing. Yeah. I'm so proud of you. I think absolutely incredible that you are now a certified stand-up comedian who goes on tour. What the hell?
I know, yeah. I know, and you know what? I think it's really important to note, like, for anybody that I think I make it abundantly clear that I think it's so important to give a level of reality in these things, isn't it? Because it's really easy, and I used to, and I think maybe that's why I feel so passionate about making sure that people know. I used to be that person that would sit and look at other people and go, oh, but I'll never be that successful, or I'll never be that good, or I'll never be this, or I'll never be that, and I'm not good enough at this, and I won't be, you know, like, look at them, I'm never going to be that person. It's really important to acknowledge the fact that it's not that you don't not feel that way anymore, and like that fear of not being good enough, and you know, like that wanting to keep fighting forwards to be better, when in actual fact you don't ever take a moment to acknowledge how far you've come.
Yeah.
So, you know, and as I've said a million times over, self-comparison is such a horrible, awful thing.
Yeah.
And it can eat you up in an industry like this, can't it, mate?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, I think
we've both felt
that firsthand. Is this fear of looking at someone else and going, Jesus Christ, they're so much better than me. So I think I like to make sure that I give that little dose of, I'm still working on
that
believing
shit.
That I'm good enough.
That shit. I can't remember if I said this before, but I listened to a podcast, and it was with some really successful businesswoman, but she was just talking about mindset of success, really, and having a career and achieving things in your career that you aim for, or like if you want this particular thing, you want to achieve this particular thing, but you do that, you have that internal sort of dialogue of you're not good enough, you're never going to be blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she just said that she says to herself, why not me?
Yes.
Like, why not me? Why can I not be as successful as person X? Why not me? And I just keep doing that now. And I feel like it's really helped me.
It's so true, though. It's so true. Like, why not?
Yeah.
Why can't I have that?
Why not me?
Why can't I work towards that? Like I said before we came on the record, but I don't know if I've said it on here. Obviously, lost Dad in September. And then when I left 2023, like New Year's Eve, I just like came apart, really, like literally at my friend's dining room table crying because I couldn't bear the thought of going into a year my dad wasn't alive for. And like January through to March, I was in like a really bleak place. I think everybody around me saw it as well. Like, I definitely saw it. Yeah, I felt quite envious and bitter of other people. And just even Steve, like, you know, of just being like, you just don't understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I felt like I don't know, I just didn't really make sense of anything that my life was about. I found it really hard and I'm just coming out of it now. And I think it's another stark reminder of like sometimes what you see across socials or what you see in day-to-day life is not necessarily a reality. And to have that mindset of like for me, I think the biggest thing that it's changed for me is kind of not that, but like that version of, yes, you can do this. And yes, you are good enough. And yes, you are worthy of it. And yes, you do deserve it. You're not... Nothing bad is going to happen giving it a go.
Do you know what? I always have this like slight sense of background foreboding of like, this is going to go wrong.
Yes.
Or, you know, and it probably does come back to, I don't deserve this sort of thing, you know?
Exactly,
and
you're like, the same.
Oh yeah. So it's not a nice feeling, is it? Of like, and I hate that because it can taint the success as well. Sometimes when you're like, actually, can I just take a moment to appreciate that this is what I've achieved and it's great. But then there's that little voice of like, yeah, but don't get too comfortable because it's going to be taken away from you. You know, like that kind of thing. I struggle with that a lot. But I think that why not me things just really helped to give me a little, I don't know, like a sense of, yeah, no, I can do these things. If I want to do that, I can do it.
Yeah,
I mean, that whether or not I actually achieve what I'm aiming to achieve, I don't know. But
I think there's an element of manifestation in that, though, of like that mindset of going, yeah, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah,
actually, it doesn't matter whether you achieve it, because I think naturally in life, we can start going down a path and going, hang on, I'm not enjoying this. And then you just kind of like move over and you change direction. And I just think it's about that ability to be able to say, yeah, I am going to change direction because this is what I want and I deserve this. Like, why not me? It's such a perfect description of how we should speak to ourselves.
Oh my God, I feel so empowered right now. Do you?
You should. You should. It's great though. That's a really great philosophy too.
Philosopher, I like that.
Philosophy, yeah, it is.
I can't remember how this conversation began, just about my morning just being totally chaotic. So I tried to do, so it's the first day back after Easter holidays. Obviously, it's always going to be a bit mad because the kids are trying to get them back into the routine and all the rest of it. And my builders are still here doing the loft. I don't have a bedroom door. And what I would normally do before school run, especially on Monday, Monday's my workout guaranteed day. Because I'm like, I have to do a workout on a Monday morning. It sets me up for the week. It's just one of those little intention things that I like to fulfill. And I always feel a little bit displaced if I don't get to do it. Anyway, circumstances are chaotic getting the kids ready. I don't have a bedroom door. Don't want to get my minge out when the builders are here. So I've got to transport all of my kit downstairs while I'm sat here. So I managed to do one set of these overhead press today before I was interrupted. So that's been my workout today, Laura. I think I've done 12 overhead presses and I didn't achieve any more than that because life.
I think that take a pat. Put a pat on your back. Pat yourself on your back. Pat yourself on the back because you did 12 rather than none. I am
sat here in my Lycra as well. I've got my Lycra, my gym gear still on, and I've got to try and do something.
Well,
I've
no, just felt the need. The same, love, because under normal circumstances, I go on a Sunday, but Wednesday, I don't know what I did. I went to sleep and I woke up and I trapped a nerve. I mean, nothing says 40 quite like that, does it?
Yeah.
And so Thursday, having trapped a nerve. And I'm quite a stubborn cunt. I'm not particularly good when I'm ill, or if anything is potentially preventing me from living a normal life, I push past it because a horrific fear of not being able to just live a normal life. So I went out into the back garden and I thought it was a good day to pull a fucking tree that has been there for 9 years out of the ground.
Oh my God.
As you can imagine, that didn't make anything better.
No.
And then Thursday night, I went to PT because I refused to cancel. Safe to say my back isn't great.
Mate, you know what? Bill. I think at this age, I'm just going to put my little fit bitch hat on now.
Go on, give it.
We have to listen to our bodies and we must not work through pain. If it hurts, you need to fucking stop.
It's better this, now. It's better now.
I do the same thing because I slept in a ropey bed on holiday last week and my back is well and truly kaput, mate. Like, it's always my lower back goes. It's my weak spot, my hip and my lower back.
Same.
Look, I should absolutely not be lifting any heavy weights, but my head is like, go on, just do the workout. But on Sunday, I did a mobility workout, so which is just focusing on like all your joints and, you know, keeping limber and all that shit. But mobility is so important for us at our age. And Kelly keeps bloody, you know, hammering this home to me. And I'm like, yeah, shut up, Kelly. I've got to do something that really burns some fucking calories. What do you know? You've only been a PT for 20 years. And she's like, you need to do mobility, you stupid cow. So I'm trying to do it. And I'm trying to do one mobility workout a week. And it makes such a difference. But it's really good for us at this age, just keeping our limber joints, you know, like all flexible and all
that.
So
when I go to yoga, is that a good thing for mobility? Or is
it
that
is
not
a good
enough?
Thing. It's you need to do a mobility specific workout, and the thing is, it's not like it's so low key. You're like rotating joints. I know, but if you put it, it feels amazing, and you will actually realize how fucked you are.
I don't doubt that, especially my back at the moment, mate.
Oh my God! So like one of them is just literally bending your head to the side and then slowly rolling forward like that. But even that, I'm like, I feel like I'm going to get stuck and be stuck in that position. Just my head looks like empty.
So I have to do that at yoga. I hate it. Yeah, I find it.
If you're on your phone a lot, it's really important because we just constantly got our heads down. But even just going backwards and forwards with your head up and down like that, like slowly. Oh, it's delightful. But yeah, why not sign up to Fitbitch, babes?
Why not? Sign up to Fitbitch and then you could do this every week with a fully qualified PT.
And
you could tell me Ambic, obviously, for the bants.
I'm on the bants. I think now, actually, I can probably say this, but we've launched the app.
Yes, no, it will be, because we've got to be at a good 4 weeks ahead from now.
Yeah, exactly. So we now have the Fitbitch app is live and kicking, hopefully. So long as nothing goes wrong.
Well, worst case scenario, it's not.
It's
look
coming.
For it. And if
it's
it ain't there and you ain't heard about it, then
you know what you're doing. But we, it's got so much content on there. There's like, I can't even fucking remember now because I haven't thought about it. I've been on holiday for a week. I think there's about 30 different workouts on there.
Wow. How does your body feel after having done all 30 of those?
We had to film them in short succession. So I think there was 5 weeks where we were doing it. Yeah. Back to back. And there was one day where I was like, Kelly, could you not have planned this better? She did all of the advanced glutes and abs in a row.
God,
and
I could
not walk. Like
no.
It was, I mean, if you just do one standalone, you're fine. But if you do three back to back, we were absolutely exhausted. By the end of it, we weren't even speaking.
Like that's a lot of
falling out. But like we were so tired that we were just on the mat, like, are you still there? Because we have a lot of chat when we're doing it because, you know, it just makes the exercises go quicker. It's basically a monthly subscription now and you get access to all of those videos and you can do a six-month plan or you can just do ongoing rolling plan if you want to.
This bitch has got an app.
Oh, my God, I've got an app.
Honestly, you're like, what's his name? Elon Musk.
Elon Muskie. I wish. I mean, I'd fucking like to be as rich as him.
Oh, the money. Yeah, I'd have the money.
Yeah, no, I'm
not him.
Right. He's like some weird cyborg, isn't he?
He's so fucking weird.
He gives me the ick big time. And also, we've got these holistic monthly sessions where we're having different practitioners come and do like a complementary workout that's not necessarily as hardcore as like the strength training and the conditioning stuff. It's to complement it for your mental health, for your well-being, all that. So my sister's the resident yoga teacher, Fitbit yoga teacher. She's been a yoga teacher for years and got some sessions with her, and we're bringing in loads of different people to just support this time in our lives. It's an all-round fitness holistic sort of app that, yeah, come and join us. I'd love to have you there. I would give you a discount code. I will give you a discount code when I've worked out what the fucking discount code
is. Just remember, we are talking in the future here.
Exactly.
We are in the past. When you listen to this, we will have been in
the past. So
way in the past. We're so past the past.
Next week's one, I'll work out a discount code and share
Which will be another 5 weeks from when...
From now. We're all over face. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting. It's been a lot of work. I've learned so much about running a business. I've had to just learn it on the job because no one's telling me.
How incredible is that? That just goes to show your true grit and determination.
Can I tell you
your ability to do that?
We hired like a business coach.
Oh, were they a waste?
Fucking waste of money, mate. What?
Really?
They literally. We spent £1,000 for 2 months support, and they did fuck all. Like literally, so, you know, when you're like, oh, I'm bitter about it. Because
yeah, that's
a lot of money, and it's come out of the business and all the rest of it, which is fine. But equally, you're like, that was such a waste. When I could, and what we ended up doing was just sort of Googling stuff and then working it out for ourselves, and we've done all right, you know.
Yeah.
But just it's sometimes I think. You get so overwhelmed when you're setting up a new business. There's so many things to think about. And you just think, oh, they'll tell me what to do and they'll show me how to do it. And then they absolutely did not.
Yeah.
They just spoke this fucking bullshit chat and it's then never
sales
delivered.
Sales technique, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 100% it is. And not my kind of sales either. Like some of the suggestions for stuff, I was like, oh, this is so gross. I am going to say this. It was a man. And
sure.
The chat was so male.
Yeah.
Like the sales pitchy type stuff that there was this suggestion of how we marketed it. And both me and Kelly were like, absolutely not.
But
right.
Then it was that meeting that we had. Obviously, we won't disclose that meeting with that man that we had.
Oh, my God.
And Vic thought that my camera had frozen because I hadn't moved in such a long time.
You know what? I found the photo of that when I shared photos of you for your birthday. I've got you on my phone, like, because you know, like, identifies the faces. But obviously, you're on twice, right? Because you're on Laura with long hair and then Laura short hair, and they think it's two different people. But I have the screenshot of that, and it made me piss myself so much. Like, you, I was just like, absolutely
don't
horrified.
Do well
she looks
situations.
Horrified. Oh, he was such a cunt.
But it's the same. It's that sales team. You know, you're like, how do you? It doesn't work. It's never worked before. Why are you still doing it?
I know. I don't get it. I feel like so much of the marketing industry is run and led by men like that.
Yeah, so is the advertising industry.
Yeah, but like, who is believing it? Mm-hmm. But people must be believing it. Maybe brands believe it because they give them all their money to do their ad campaigns. But. Oh, it's wild. It's like you
wild and
don't
gross.
Know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I feel like having done 7 years online, I know how to sort of market stuff on social media. Like, I think I've learned that now. And what you're saying disgusts me. Okay.
But also, you've actually said about like a marketing technique, which actually randomly, I don't know, maybe it's because you had said marketing technique, my phone listened and then it showed me this video, this TikTok video around how there's like three main core marketing techniques. And so, you know, Kourtney Kardashian's fucking Lemmy gummies, whatever they are.
Yeah.
That they are ultimately absolute shit.
Yeah, of course.
Like, there's no nutritional value, no nothing. But the marketing campaign around it has been so incredibly brilliant that they have sold, like, it's just been a complete overnight success. but that's been purely based on the marketing technique. Now, that's one thing that you can confirm, Fitbitch is not. It is not a pile of bollocks.
It is, in fact,
fucking brilliant.
But this is the thing, you can have the absolute best product in the world, but if you can't market it well, then it's never going to fly, is it? It's the hardest part. I don't even think the product is the difficult bit. I think it's the getting it out there that's really tricky.
It's getting somebody to believe in something. Although it's totally different, that first performance that I did in Brighton, where it was basically, the promoters said, can you sell these tickets? This is a true test to whether you have the ability to, do people believe in you enough?
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh yeah, they do.
And you're like, oh my God, no pressure.
I have no idea what possessed me to even fucking say yes to that.
Well, I mean, look, it was the start of your incredible journey.
And there are sometimes, Vic, when I look at this incredible journey, it feels so terrifying that I just say to Steve, I don't want to do it anymore. No, I stay at home in my pajamas. I don't like it. It's too scary. Oh God, honestly.
Yeah, we've had some serious motivational.
We have. Don't ever not believe in your fucking dream, bitch.
And also, I would just like to point out that I think every single person is winging it. I really do believe that. Like, I feel like I'm totally winging it. I know that I've got a bit of a hold on what we're doing with the Fitbitch in terms of like our email marketing campaigns, that kind of thing. I mean, even those words coming out of my mouth feels
Hello.
Like,
oh, I'm going to call you Elon from now on. Next, you'll be buying shares in Tesla.
Oh, but I genuinely believe that most people are just winging it, and that's okay.
Oh God, I'm winging everything.
Why
guys.
Not me, baby?
Why not me? Exactly. I'm winging. I have winged it from the moment I got stuck in those fucking Spanx. I have winged it ever since. I've not known. I've said yes to things and gone, I'll figure it out later. Yeah. Do not think for one second that I have a thread of intelligence in my brain that makes me think logically. I don't. I fucking don't.
It obviously is there, but I think it's just not conscious with us. It's just subconscious. Yeah.
So I also think it's determination. Like, from my point of view, like, we've both received in so many different forms and different ways rejection.
Oh my God, constant. Yeah.
Whether it be algorithm rejection, which we were talking about before we came online, whether it be around the rejection of trolls, of like what, that one nasty comment that really sets you back, like the rejection of someone going, oh no, you know, from a management perspective where they're like, no, we don't want to take you on, or
work, like not coming in, like all of that stuff. God, it just feels like rejection.
Yeah, but like for every single piece of rejection, I don't fucking give up. I just keep pushing forward. And I think that's the thing. And I think it's about when you want it enough, you keep pushing past the rejection, but then when you get to that point where you go, I've had enough now.
Yeah, and it's not all success either. There are like failures. There's loads of failures along the way.
So much failure.
You know, I just always think on those days when you're feeling really shit and you're having a failure day, you just have to sit with it for a bit and be like, do you know what? Tomorrow's going to be a different day. So just take the moment to wallow in it. And then tomorrow you're not going to be like this, because what's the point? Like, it's not going to achieve anything. But I do think you need to give it a little space, a little bit of space to breathe, which for some reason has made me think of vaginas at nighttime and our difference of opinion. Yes. Do you know what's so interesting? I don't even know how we've just swapped subjects here.
Always comes back to Fanny.
But Edith, she chooses to wear knickers at night.
I said,
what about the airing of the vagina? Is this not something that you are on board with? And she said she doesn't like the way it feels. I like wearing knickers. I was like, okay, fair enough.
I just like feeling contained.
Yeah, that's why your minge smells like a dirty kipper. But sure, let's go
with
it.
I'm all right with smelling like a dirty kipper.
Sure, we have some stories.
Well, I think that would be quite nice.
All right, we've got a Moon Cup story. Mooncup.com. The title is Fanny Period Plunger. Love that.
Oh, I like that. It's a very accurate description. It does look like a little mini plunger.
Essentially what it is. Hi, both. I love you girls so much. Thought I'd share my Moon Cup story. So I bought a Moon Cup after listening to your podcast, and one of my mate uses one as well, so gets on just fine with it. That's interesting that she's one off of all of our period cup recommender. Well, we do recommend it. We like it, but we've had some right old stories about them on here.
I guess we've only ever had success stories. Like, we've personally had success success stories, we've not got them stuck or had to go to A&E with them. Thank the Lord.
No, never. Like, it's always been a very easy exit and entrance.
Yes.
I inserted on day one of my period in the shower while the baby napped. Instructions said best to insert when wet. Oh, I didn't even read the instructions.
I don't put mine in wet.
No, neither
do I. No, I just thought I'd just fucking stick it in.
My pussy is moist enough, baby. No, it's absolutely not. It's very dry. I don't remember reading the instructions.
I never put it in the shower.
No, I've not done that either. But that makes sense, I suppose. It provides a little bit of lubrication, does it not? I fussed around for ages to get it in, all while the shower making it really slippy and filling up with water every time it popped out my navel.
God.
I didn't even think about
surely
that.
That's a fear. The water going in there, that could be a breeding ground for bacteria.
Yeah, you wouldn't want that, would you?
Like a little witch's cauldron.
Tipping all the water out, starting again to get the shape right. Okay, it's in. Finally, yuck. Felt like someone was sucking my insides out. So I just had a period. I do think that I get my cervix very much rejects it when I initially put it in, but not enough to completely expel it, but just a little bit of like, oh, hello, what's this patch you're putting on me?
I have on a couple occasions thought, is this making my period cramps worse?
Yeah,
I do feel like it does.
It's almost like, you know, when you're giving birth and they do a sweep to check how far dilated you are. It's like that. It brings on another contraction, doesn't it? That was the worst. I only got fingered once in both my labours.
Same, once.
So with Oliver, and I was 10 centimetres dilated when she did it. So obviously it was like rimming the fucking moon because my cervix was well and truly wide open. But oh my God, the pain.
Yeah, they're so painful. It's weird. I guess it's doing exactly what it's doing, which is activating the dilation. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, it does its job.
I think that was the worst contraction that I had of the whole bloody labour. And I was on my back as well. I just couldn't. I don't understand how you can have a contraction on your back.
I had an epidural, so like I was on my back for not Toby, but even with Toby, like every time I tried to get up on my knees, I threw up. So,
oh God, I was just like bent over on all fours for the whole time for both of them. I couldn't be in any other position for a contraction. It was mental. Birth is so weird. So I pulled the stupid little rubber handle a little through gritted teeth, and it comes to a more comfortable position. I thought, okay, I'll shower. But man, the uncomfortableness, the rubber handle dangling down like a third labia.
Oh God, it's too far out. You've got that too low down.
That's not it. It shouldn't be dangling out, sweetheart. Fuck it, I thought. I'm taking it out. Pulled the handle and pop. A moon cup full of blood splashes all over me in the shower, making a murdery, hideous scene. God, that filled up quickly.
Yeah, unless it's because it was wet that it made it look like it was more
true. Yeah, and it
maybe
was,
she was already half full with shower water.
She still had that. My fanny burning after the friction
God.
Shock. Well. Surely it's not supposed to do that. It felt like a fanny plunger. Then the baby wakes up. Yay! Seriously, tips for moon cups. I want to persevere. Thanks for all your wonderful chats that get me to work happily every Tuesday. She's a qualified nurse and she still had that issue. God. So what would your tips be for inserting
I'm going to say just don't use it.
Oh no, but it's so good though. I bloody love it because it's like...
I do and I don't because
that... For me, it's the tidiest of period devices.
It is. But you know, the thing that I can honestly say that I do get the fear is all of our horror stories.
I know.
That we've received, I've gone, maybe I don't want to use it anymore.
No, but I think because I've never once felt the even like slight threat of there being the suction, I think I'm all right. So what I do is I fold it like a bit of origami. Do you do that?
So I do it so it's like there's a tip at the top. So it's like fold down, almost like a closed rose. Is what I would describe it
as. So you twist it like that, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of like...
It's in better.
Fold it in half.
I used to do it like that, but I never found that I got the right insertion.
Angle, really?
Yeah.
I
Googled it.
I feel like I do. I fold it twice if I can, like a little bit. I don't know.
Fold it twice?
Basically, the rim of it looks like my bumhole.
So try doing it where, like, you fold one... kind of corner round.
Okay.
That worked really well. Because I used to do it like that, where I fold it in half. And
yeah, because sometimes it's like it just pops out when you're trying to get it in and it feels a bit awkward. Yeah. And then I always go for one leg up, like on something, a surface. Normally the toilet seat or the bath, the edge of the bath.
I'll tend to just do a squat.
You do a squat, do you?
Do a squat on in. I wouldn't be able to do it.
How deep are you going into the squat? Just got an image of you doing a really low squat. Just like, just sitting on it and it just going up there.
It does, yeah.
And unraveling.
But I wouldn't be able to do it just stood in the shower. Like, I don't feel like I'd be able to get a wide enough, like,
burst
to my legs to be able to then get it in.
Yeah. No, I don't. So
I think it is about how wide you go.
I can create quite some distance there.
Fucking spider monkey Vic.
My massive long legs. And then I have to... Yeah, I do think a slight bit of lubrication does help.
I don't use lube.
I just rub it at the entrance, mate. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I've got my own lube.
I rub it at the entrance. I do find, though, like, yeah, I've used it, but then I haven't used it the last couple of months and I have noticed my period cramps aren't as bad.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have to say, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do agree, it is like the nicest, tidiest way to...
Yeah, because you just don't really... You're like, oh, I'm not even bleeding until you take it out.
I do feel like I get quite bad period pains with it.
It makes sense because it's like it's stimulating your cervix, isn't it?
Yeah.
And aren't like period pains very, very low-key labour pains?
Yeah.
That's what they feel like.
Yeah, basically.
Because something's being expelled from your womb, so... You know, essentially.
Isn't it great being a woman?
Oh, it's fucking fantastic. I was telling you before we came on record about how horrific my first day of my period is now. Like, just, I actually believe that I'm dying and I can't, I feel like a Victorian with consumption. That's what I feel like.
Why is it always back to Victorians with you?
Because you know how much I love them.
Obsessed.
I absolutely love them.
You know how people like spot trains and like, you know, like you're all about the fucking Renaissance. Oh, I sent Vic a video of these, of a news thing where a guy that was dressed in very medieval clothing with a sword. I just love how completely embroiled he was in his
reenactment of the medieval battle.
Yeah, it must have obviously been like a magical thing because he said about how his friend was a necromancer. Basically,
how's a necromancer?
Spell person.
It sounds like someone that has sex with dead people.
Probably is. That's necrophilia.
A necro-romancer.
Basically, they were being interviewed by a reporter because in the vicinity of their reenactment where they're all dressed up and obviously doing cosplay, I guess, there was a murder. And the guy said, I went over to investigate because I thought that I might be able to help. I can't remember what he said he was.
Yeah.
With a spell.
Yes.
And he said, but it was pretty difficult because the guy's head wasn't even attached.
Yes.
And then my friend, who's a necromancer, came over and crafted a spell. But it would seem that we contaminated the crime scene because the necromancer spell has a lot of glitter to it. I mean, God love them.
They had gone glitter on a decapitated head.
On a fucking minute. I think we might be able to bring him back. Let me get my little fabric in my velvet pocket of glitter that I believe to be true magical powers and watch his head slowly stitch back. Instead, it was just a decapitated body covered in fucking kid glitter.
The delivery was so earnest from this fella. I absolutely loved it. What do you think about these sort of reenactment cosplay things?
I love how innocent they are.
Yeah.
I think like that's the beauty of it, is that they were full-blown adults and they truly, completely and utterly felt so engulfed in their belief over who they were. Under normal circumstances, it doesn't hurt anyone.
No.
I mean, to be fair, they were trying to make it better.
That's true.
So they weren't hurting anyone. They just obviously contaminated a crime scene with glitter.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think what a lovely way. Both Steve and I have said I would love to think that way.
Would you ever go to a cosplay thing if you were like invited? And what genre would it be?
I don't know that I would do a very good job of taking it seriously.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like you've got to be really committed.
Yeah, you've got to be 100% sold to the cause, and I'm not sold to the cause.
If you were going to do one, what would you want it to be? Like, what would the theme be?
Labyrinth.
Oh, there you go.
How
straight
bad is
off.
That?
Jesus
I didn't even
Christ.
Have to think. How embarrassing.
It's absolutely nothing that I would ever want to do. Labyrinth. Yeah.
I've seen people do them, like
the
ball.
Who would you be? A character or just in the style of?
Oh, God, that's too much.
Because I was
quite
obsessed.
I think I'd dress up as fucking David Bowie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, give you a little codpiece and some leggings.
To be fair, I actually have an outfit, and our next door but one neighbours, who are really good friends, they are also obsessed with Labyrinth like I am. And I went to her birthday party this year, and I had black leatherette looking leggings with a white shirt and a black, what are the harnesses called?
Yeah, the little harness thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Black leather harness with my blonde hair. And she arrived. She was like, all right, Jareth. That wasn't my intention. I didn't mean to dress like him.
That's so funny. He's an icon, though.
He is an icon,
just generally, but even more so in that film.
Yeah.
I was absolutely obsessed with that film. And I just wanted to be Sarah because I thought she was so beautiful.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, at the ball.
That's what I mean.
Still going. I loved it.
It's actually... It is a horrifically troubling, problematic film. He is a fully grown man trying to lure a teenage girl into a relationship with him.
Hello, welcome to my childhood. It was the 80s.
It was the 80s. But how we all I lusted after David, but I was to say...
I don't know if I did. I don't find him that attractive. Yeah.
In that, as the Goblin King, oh my God. Everything,
no,
everything.
Yeah. I wasn't down with it. I was more in love with her, I think.
So see what I mean? Like, can you imagine just... I think that the way that the whole film was created, it was so clever. And actually, there's so much speculation about the truth of that story and obviously where it originates from, whether it's to do with Where the Wild Ones Are, you know, the film.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because obviously that book is in the book rack as the opening scenes happen. And I love, all of the story behind that, what do you call it? The story behind the story. But oh my God, what would be yours? What would be your, obviously a Victorian?
I mean, first of all, if the Labyrinth cosplay thing, I'm either going to be Sarah or I'm going to be the worm that says hello.
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 Maybe you could go as Sarah and I could go as Jareth.
That would be perfect. Absolutely.
I wouldn't even
perfect.
Be able to look at you throughout because everyone else would be taking it seriously and you and I wouldn't.
That's my problem. But I don't know. I think, yeah, for me, I would absolutely love to do a bit of the old Victorian role play. Yeah.
And what would you dress up as? A prostitute? A scrubber? What would it be?
Those are the first things that came to mind.
A scrubber or a prostitute? Or would you be a wealthy landowner?
Oh, I'd be like some lady of the manor. Obviously,
I'd be a prostitute.
I wouldn't. If it was in the real world, I would have been a fucking scullery maid. Let's be honest. You know, with this face.
Shut up. You'd be a maiden.
Imagine. I don't know what I'd do, but Rob absolutely loves getting dressed up. And he used to go
sexually,
to...
Not sexually.
Oh, no, not sexually. He used to... So there's this thing called Secret Cinema. Have you heard of it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So back in the day when they first started it, and it wasn't the sort of like... It's very... it's like a big money-making thing now. And the events are they're really large scale. I've been to some of the more recent ones.
You went to it when it was cool, hip and
But I only went to one when it was cool and hip and edgy, but Rob went to every single fucking one.
Of course
when it started out. And the one that I went to was amazing. And I honestly got lost in it. So the one that we went to was a Coen Brothers film called Miller's Crossing. So it's set in the 1930s. Already I'm sold. All right.
Of course.
And it was in a old 1930s building that was now disused. It used to be the like council buildings in Crouch End in London. And it was immersive, like it's total immersive theatre. So there's actors there playing out the characters and the scenes from the film, and you just have free range to walk around. They had like a speakeasy bar that was hidden, like behind all these red velvet curtains with a live jazz band. And then, oh, honestly, Laura, it was so good. There's a court case scene and there was a court with it happening, and you go in and you're like part of it. It was amazing. It absolutely blew my mind. All dressed up in 1930s shit. When I tell you, we got so drunk.
Like, oh my God, I'm so surprised.
My God. We were so fucked by the end of it. But I got into it, mate. I was doing the fucking accent, everything. But in the lead up to it, you got sent your passport with your identity.
So did Rob at any point look over at you and think, what the fuck, when you started speaking differently?
Who's this brat?
Because it was like, oh my God, I've never been so turned on by her.
Probably, absolutely loved it. But he went to loads of them. And they sounded absolutely incredible. He went to the Shawshank Redemption one, where when you arrived, they made you strip off and you had to get into prison scrubs.
Stop. No one was watching. It wasn't that immersive, I hope. No,
like in a weird, like Squid Games kind of thing. Yeah, no. It was brilliant. And they got like cuffed up and stuff. But he went to all of those and he got so into it. There was a Bugsy Malone one as well, which I was so gutted that I missed that. I would love to do that. So I think from films, I'm well on board with it. Like, yeah. Anything that's period drama type thing.
But would
I'm
you
well
believe
it.
It so much that if you saw a decapitated body that you'd think, hang on a fucking minute.
Yeah, dust on it and think that'll do.
I'm going to bring this back. I'm going to bring this fucking back. But with your sort of old 1930s accent and your full-blown outfit on, Hank, step aside.
I'm here.
The scullery maid is going to fucking save the day.
Oh yeah, no. My sister went out with someone that used to do the battle reenactments.
Oh yeah, interesting.
Loser.
I think it's harmless fun.
Each their own.
You're not sticking your dick in something where it's not welcome, you know. No. So I think all the time that it is above board, it is healthy and it's nourishing, and you're not hurting anyone.
Knock yourself out, mate.
Fucking good for you. You found something you enjoy, and actually, there's a lot to be said for that.
I mean, of course, Rob loved it. He got to wear a cravat and Cuban heels. He was living his absolute fantasy.
Fucking Cubans.
Why does he have to bring them into real life though? Like,
I
that,
know,
remember
yeah.
that was cosplay, okay?
Because I know. Me and the Cubans.
An Elizabethan woman. This is the real world.
I do, like, what is the height difference between he and Steve? It can't be that bad.
He's quite short.
He's 6'1".
No way. Robbie's like 5'8".
Oh, that's not bad. That's not that different.
Maybe 5'9". 5'10" with his Cubans on.
He's going to have to wear those in May.
Absolutely not. I'm burning them. Like the weighted vest. One day he'll just go to knit for them and they won't be there. And then we're like, what's happening to my Cuban heels?
Like, all of his rings and all his beanie hats.
To the woman on the end of the street.
The woman at the end of the street that shit while walking and then threw it underneath the Mercedes and gave it to her.
She deserves them. Not
she
yet.
Deserves them.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh dear. I don't even know how long we've been chatting for.
We've done 45 minutes already, babe. So we can do a little roundup now.
Completely consumed. It started off with a period cup.
Yes. And then we ended up on Rob's Cuban heels. I feel we end up on Rob's Cuban heels quite frequently, actually.
I'd say every other week.
They're such a source of entertainment.
They really are. And you know, period cups. I don't know how we got from period cups to cosplay.
Who knows?
Not a fucking clue.
No. I mean, what, could you incorporate a moon cup into cosplay? Probably. You could wear it as a tiny little hat and say that you were the king of the elves or something.
The king of the elves.
Or you could get your magic decapitation
anti-dust
glitter in. Yeah. There you go.
Clean film the top, you'd be good to go.
Oh my God. Right. So if you want to send us your stories, you know the score, your confessions, any other business. What if you cosplay, tell us about it.
Oh, please.
What do you cosplay as? We'd love to know.
And what would be your cosplay thing? And don't forget, I really do love hearing rage stories and revenge stories. Yeah. I love all of them.
Got ragging hour, revenge stories. Wherever, man, just chat to us, yeah?
Chat shit.
And by the way, I say man, like when I'm getting frustrated. It's just a hangover from being a 90s kid, I think. But sometimes I say it to Edith and I'll be like, Edith, man, can you just pick this up? And she's like, I'm not a man. And she gets so angry about
You're right, darling, you're not. You're far better.
You can send that to us. Did I say the email just? I can't remember.
Everyone's fucking heard it.
.com. Or what else can they do, Laura?
They can go on over to our Instagram page at NoHolesBarredPodcast and sort it into our DMs.
And we will see you, Slags, next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Bye.